right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Then we're going to go on basically a 70-minute rant about what's going on with Elon and Trump. Let's see. Keeper 1376 is on. Lady Vu is on. SB Hank is on. Thank you for already forgiving in the rant. Thank you so much. King Slutsy McGroin is on. Lady Vu is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Greg Nine Mon is on. Uncle Wally is on. Black Bart 201 is on. PJ Wiles is on. Goozy 600 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Producer Aaron is on. D9597 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Robin Aroni is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Veronica 18201 is on. 5092 5 McDonald is on. Blade Runner is on. Will Gilbert is on. Mike Griffith is on. Sheila K is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Skunk 71 is on. Nate Dad is on. Buckeye 1968 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Sunboo 45 is on. USA Abby Girl is on. Joe Heathen is on. JD Joy is on. TJT1 is on. Jenna Fogg is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Gritterdun is on. Buckin' Gator is on. Let me see anybody else here real quick. Biggie 926 928 is on. B-Haven is on. Clean Sanchez is on. That's a good way to finish right there. All right, let's hop right on. There's nothing from the pregame because this is just too hot to not talk about. And just so you know, I'm not sweating this at all. Aaron and I were talking about it today. This is life. I mean, for a lot of people, I'm not saying anybody watching this, I'm just saying a lot of people, they're just not used to conflict. My entire life is conflict, has been conflict. You know, people betray me all the time. I mean, just pastor a church. People think they want to pastor a church. You don't. You think you do, but you don't. You know, but you get all this credit. People tell you how great you are. People will tell you how great you are. And then the next day, they hate you. Okay. Like, I mean, it just one thing, you preach the wrong Bible verse to the wrong person, and they will turn their back on you. People just change. They change. They get in moods. They're shifting shadows. That is the way that it is. So none of this really affects me. He kind of knew it was coming. And for me, it's like a church dispute. I've seen 8 million of them. I saw 8 million of them at the sheriff's office. People love each other, then they hate each other. They're best friends, then they're not. And you're like, Tom, you sound awfully hard-hearted. I'm not actually hard-hearted at all. I just live in the realm of reality. Do I just think eventually all my friends will no longer be my friends? Yeah. I know a lot of you don't think that way, but you have to really trace back. Look at all your friends. How many of them are your friends now? I mean, we have a different age span in here, separated by Will and I are 15 years apart. Aaron and I are 26 years apart-ish, something like that. I'm older than both of them. And I can honestly tell you, there's always an exception. So you're probably, I've been friends with the same person since the kindergarten. Okay, you're the exception. Congratulations. And there are exceptions to every rule. But if I actually asked Will and I asked Aaron, how many friends do you have still in your life that were your friends in high school, middle school, in your 20s, in college, wherever it was, and they may have some, but there'd hardly be any. That's how life is. You're telling me you're making excuses because Trump and Elon are failing. No, I mean, you had to see it coming, didn't you? I mean, you know, here's the thing. Aaron was like, when I came in, you're definitively going to like take a side because I always take sides. But in this particular circumstance, because all I've been basically since I was 23, that's been when I became a deputy sheriff, 1992. And then I started pastoring this church in 2003, so a 13-year overlap in my law enforcement career. All I have been is a dispute mediator or a dispute judge. And by judge, I mean when you go into a police call and the wife is on the floor and she's got blood coming out of her nose, and then the husband's got, you know, a slap mark across his face, who's going to jail, and you have to be the judge who goes to jail that night. Not the judge and who's convicted of a crime, but who's going to go to jail that night, because according to Florida state statute, somebody pretty much has to in a domestic violence situation, which I don't agree with. But anyway, because I think people could always, as adults, just sign waivers, but that got removed many years ago. But anyway, so for me, this is just normal. And if you want the worst disputes ever, you're like, it has to be law enforcement, Tom. Yeah, I have both petri dishes. I have church and I have law enforcement. I would rather deal with law enforcement disputes 1,000 times out of 1,000 times than church stuff. I'm telling you right now, because people don't treat church rationally at all. And it's actually very similar to how people treat the Oval Office, because it's esteemed very highly, and the church can be esteemed very highly, or it can be esteemed very lowly, and then people get, when it's esteemed highly and people get hurt by it, I mean, they're really hurt by it. Really hurt. You tell somebody in church, you know what? You can't be on the worship team. Well, why can't I be on the worship team? Because you can't sing or play an instrument. I still think I should be, and you just destroyed their entire persona. A lot of churches, like, you know, as like a voice, when people try out for the voice or try out for America's Got Talent or American Idol, you know, they would do an audition for one of those things, and you have to tell people, you know what, no. And then whether it's worship team or, you know, people come in, I want to preach. Well, not here, you're not. I mean, you know, that's, you have to turn people, but the people get very, very offended. It's actually end times prophecy in Matthew chapter 24, 10 through 13. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And another interpretation of that is many at that time will be offended. So, I mean, that's just the way that that's dealing with humanity. So when Elon is offended at Trump and Trump is offended at Elon, this is my world, baby. This is where I dwell. I dwell in offense. I'm either always offending somebody or dealing with somebody else's offenses all the time. And most of them, they're absolutely ridiculous. And all of this could be resolved between these two guys if they were to sit down in a room for 30 minutes and just scream at each other. Instead of giving statements to the press and putting out social media posts. All right, so we're going to break this thing all the way down. And I'm going to show you both sides, and then you can actually decide, because here's the thing. I'm not on a side. I'm on a percentage side, and that sounds like a cop-out, but it's not. Nobody should take a side here, because were any of us in the rooms? Were we? None of us have been in the rooms. None of us actually know what happened, ever. And please understand this, and I'm going to stop ranting, but please understand something. If you've ever been a part of investigations, when you are investigating any crime on any level, I was never a homicide detective or anything like that. Mine was always street level crime stuff, thefts and batteries and things like that. There are always two sides, and you do not know anything unless you were there and witnessed it. You don't know anything. And then a lot of times, even when you witness it, you don't know the backstory. A lot of times it's that way. You'll see various stories about one person hitting another, and it's a clip. You don't really know what happened prior to that. You'll see the one clip of the guy smacking his girlfriend. Should a guy ever hit a girl? No. She grab a hold of her and just defend yourself. But in the prior, you know, 4 minutes of the video, that's not expedient for anybody to put out. There's the girl slapping the living crap out of the guy. And none of the, you know, then so the guy becomes the biggest monster in the world, but he was actually being slapped numerous times prior to it. Finally got fed up and slapped his girlfriend one time, and she slapped him 47 times. So whenever you're getting into these things, to definitively decide who's right and who's wrong, you can't and you shouldn't. How you can always decide what's right and what's wrong is what the Bible says. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Bible says it's right, it's right. If the Bible says don't do it, don't do it. If the Bible says do it, do it. That's it. That's the only thing that you should be an acolyte for, lock, stock, and barrel into, is the voice of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, which is Jesus. All right, so let's just... The first video is Peter St. Ange while exploding federal deficits. So what we're going to do, Elon basically says that he's left because, and he has basically left the Trump administration because of our spiraling debts and deficits, and Trump backing the BBB. It's really the OBBB, the one big beautiful bill, which it certainly is not. And on that, I side with Elon 100%. But is that the sole reason why Elon left? Well, that's what we're gonna look into. But let's set the precedent first, and let's see where we actually stand today on federal debts and deficits. Play for me.
Will exploding federal deficits spark a financial crisis to rival 2008? Will we be eating cat food again? Last week, two influential mainstreamers, Ray Dalio and Jamie Dimon, warned a financial crisis is coming now that federal deficits are projected at nearly $3 trillion per year for the next decade, courtesy of Republicans in Congress. For perspective, before COVID, a trillion was a crazy number on the deficit. Before the 2008 crisis, it was half a trillion that got the headlines under W. We thought that was bad. The first warning came from Dalio, founder of the world's largest hedge fund, Bridgewater. He warned of a, quote, breakdown in bond markets as roughly $10 trillion of federal debt looks for buyers this year. When there's not enough buyers, it drives down bond prices, which automatically drives up interest rates and incidentally crashes banks, which we saw in 2023 when interest rates rose thanks to the Fed. Now, that all drives up the cost of borrowing in the entire economy, strangling businesses and driving up mortgages, credit cards, and car loans, which squeezes consumers and historically leads to recessions. And the only way to head that off is for the Fed to jump in and, quote, print money. As in, the Fed fires up their basement computers, types a bunch of zeros on an Excel sheet, and uses those counterfeit dollars to buy trillions of dollars in bonds. The official term for this is quantitative easing, which sounds better than counterfeiting. So in short, either they let rates cause a recession or they let inflation rip. The solution, of course, is don't pump out so much debt into bond markets. That's currently overwhelmingly a government thing. Roughly 80% of debt issuance in the entire American economy is the federal government. The rest of us make do with crumbs. The other warning came from Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JPMorgan Chase, the world's biggest bank. He thinks federal deficits are now so big we are, quote, going to see a crack in bond markets that will send governments into, quote, panic. Panic here meaning trillion-dollar bailouts. Now, Dimon, of course, knows his bailouts. He was one of the lead architects of the trillions Wall Street got in 2008, as well as the autopilot bailouts in 2023 that had Janet Yellen cover $20 trillion in bank deposits with just $100 billion at the FDIC. That is a 2% cover, par for the course for the feds. The difference is back then, Dimon was not warning. He was busy counting J.P. Morgan profits on the subprime loan crisis. Today, he is telling us it's coming, adding if there's a crisis, quote, Chase will make more money. People will probably say we caused it. We like crisis. But if we don't change the trajectory of federal debt, it is coming. So this is not Peter Schiff or skies falling permabears. These are two of the most establishment players warning of a coming crisis. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. With congressional Republicans giving up on spending cuts, making a mockery of DOGE, there is nobody flying the plane. Perhaps the best we can hope for is to root for that bond market crack, as bond investors, so-called bond vigilantes, demand higher and higher rates, forcing Washington to face the consequences of its spending, the recession or inflation it takes to finally cut that spending. Unfortunately, as always, voters will also be facing those consequences.
See, now this is an emergency. So if you believe Elon that he left because of the irresponsibility of Republicans and Donald Trump. Donald Trump is pushing, no matter how Russ Vought from OMB pushes it. And I love Russ Vought, and I love Donald Trump, and I love Elon Musk. I do. And it would be if your parents are fighting, who do you side with? I mean, you can love both people. You really can. And I know that sounds so antithetical to the TLP and to me as a person, but when it deals with people disputing, you have to know where everybody stands. You have to know their heart. And there's only one who knows the hearts, the Second Samuel 16:7. And that's God Almighty. He's the one who actually knows the hearts of a person. But anyway, this is all treated very, very casually. I want to show you, before I get into what Peter St. Ange said, I want to show you this next video. Because here's Newt Gingrich, and here's him talking. Actually, if you would, Aaron, could you side-by-side that? And we're going to play it, and I'm going to interrupt it. Is that all right? Can you do that for me? So just put it on side by side, leave me on, and then play it. I'm going to tell you guys when to stop it. Whenever I tell you to stop it, back it up 3 seconds, and we'll go from there.
Got it.
Play it for me.
Did Elon Musk just blow up the big, beautiful bill?
No, I think he's a brilliant guy. He single-handedly has put Americans back into space in a big way. But he doesn't understand politics. He proved over the last 4 months that it was an interesting experiment and it didn't work. And I think...
All right, bring it to me. Okay, so he doesn't understand politics. So we're supposed to be leaning on the people who do? So Elon is a failure because he doesn't understand politics and he's calling Doge a failure? How is Doge a failure? What Doge was supposed to do was report waste, fraud, and abuse and then hand it over to the Trump administration and to Mike Johnson for them to get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse. What Newt Gingrich says here, as an establishment Republican, is that he doesn't understand politics. So politics is correct. We are $37 trillion in debt, and you're saying lean on the experts that brought us to that debt? play for me, Will?
That it was an interesting experiment and it didn't work. And I think very few House or Senate members are going to take him seriously.
Really?
Yeah, they're just going
to... All right, back to me. So, again, why wouldn't they... If you're not going to take somebody seriously, that means you must be the expert. If I'm not going to take somebody seriously, you can just pick a topic. I'll just go back to my old career in law enforcement. Will has no expertise in law enforcement. He comes up and gives me advice on what to do during an arrest, don't arrest scenario. Should I listen to him? He has no expertise. Well, either do any of these people claiming expertise. If they're going to say that Elon Musk does not have the expertise, how, you're talking about senators and congressmen and women, how do they have expertise? What is the fruit of their expertise? What is the proof? What's the validity? What's the credibility of their expertise? What proves that they're expert at anything? We're spending at $2 trillion deficits per year. We're $37 trillion in debt. And you listen to what Peter St. Ange says. This big OBBB is set to add $3 trillion. I'm going to mix the two videos together between St. Ange and this one. Between in the next decade, we're adding $3 trillion to the debt per year. And then the Trump administration and Mike Johnson and many others on the right come out and say that this is lowering debts and deficits. That's factually not the case. And then they say, well, the OMB, Office of Management and Budget, which is left. See, this is, there's a lot of dichotomies in here, and there's a lot of should you believe this and should you believe that? Because the OMB does not take into effect that Trump is going to stimulate the economy, which he has, and I mean big time. We'll get to that in a minute. It's going to be all positives, and just prepare yourself. We're going to vacillate like a roller coaster back and forth tonight, back and forth. But this big beautiful bill will add three, according to Peter St. Ange, and believe me, he knows. According to Elon Musk, according to Thomas Massey, according to Rand Paul, according to Ron Johnson, the big beautiful bill will add $3 trillion to our deficit every year, and ostensibly then to our debt every single year, which is $30 trillion by the time we get to 2035, which then puts us at $57 trillion in debt, folks. I mean, again, it comes, well, we have to pass it right now because, you know, it's election season. We have to pass it right now to make sure that all the Trump initiatives are put in place. You can't keep doing that. That's what everybody does. Trump spending at deficit levels doesn't make it right because Trump is doing it. We hate it when Democrats are doing it. And yes, what Trump spends on is better. But I'm telling you right now, there are so many giant pieces of filthy pork in this bill. Basically, what they've done is they've closed USAID for its billions of dollars in its operating budget and have reopened it under the State Department and refunded it. Everybody understand that? All the DOGE cuts are gone. And what Newt Gingrich keeps referring to is Elon failed. And he's comparing them to the experts. He doesn't understand politics. It was a great experiment, but it failed. So if that is failure, then what is success? I hope everybody is getting the philosophical side of what I'm saying here. So what if Newt Gingrich is going to deem what Elon Musk did as failure, in comparison to Congress, to the Congress and the Senate, then what exactly is success? Because the Congress and the Senate have launched this. But folks, we were less than $1 trillion in debt in 2000. We've added $37 trillion to our debt in 25 years. $37 trillion, and Newt Gingrich considers that to be expertise? Play it for me.
Senate members are going to take him seriously.
Really?
Yeah, they're just going to, I mean, look.
Oh, they dismiss his comment.
They're just going to say this is not, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh. I do think there are senators who have very real concerns on the spending side, and Trump's going to have to work with them to find a way to make them more comfortable.
Because back to me, make them more comfortable. You're going to have to work back. What is there to be comfortable about? How can there be any other option but cut spending? Why do we have to work back and forth? Cut spending. There's nothing. The words elude me because it's illogical. Why are we sitting here talking about whether we're going to have steak or steak tartare on the Titanic? Why are we talking about, are we going to play jazz tonight or classical on the Titanic? why do people need to be made comfortable? I mean, there has to be cuts. There's no other option. There's no comfort involved in it. There's logic and illogical. These people think that this is going to go on forever, folks. History says it can't and it won't. It can't and it won't go on. You cannot continue to do it. Let me go back to Peter St. Ange for just a second. So bonds buy our debt. Everybody agree? Of course. That's because you know why? That's facts. So whenever there's debt, people think that, and remember, our credit rating was just reduced by Moody's, which again is leftist. Is leftist. Moody's is leftist. First time in American history that's happened. They're doing that to actually sabotage Trump. But that is, in fact, where we're at. So our credit rating has been reduced from basically excellent to good. So, and the reason why it was reduced is because of the bond market. Because what happens in the bond market is all of our debt is bought and owned by the bond market because it's a good investment to buy our debt because it gets paid back with interest. Everybody gets that, obviously. So people buy the bonds. When people aren't buying the bonds, banks crash, as we saw numerous banks crash under the Biden administration because the bond market was not good because people stopped buying bonds. What happens when people stop buying bonds? When I say buying bonds, bonds represent the debt. See, there's a bond that owns, a bond represents a certain portion of the debt. Whether billions or millions, you can buy bonds. Basically buying little portions of the government debt that will pay you then back in interest. Now, when the bond market is crap, interest rates skyrocket. That causes banks to then crash. What happens then? Then you have the Fed come in. Remember, the worst year in United States history, in my opinion, outside of wars and outside of things like 9/11, is 1913. That was when the FBI and the Fed were both created and put into place. What happens when the bond market crashes is the Fed comes to the rescue and starts printing money to buy the debt that's caused by printing money. Did everybody see this? The bond market crashes, banks close, because nobody wants to risk buying our debt. So the Fed prints money to buy the debt, and the debt is caused by printing money. And Newt Gingrich says the people who run this show are the experts and they lord over Elon Musk. Elon Musk is so stupid. He wants to cut spending. Explain to me, where's all this money going? Where's all this money going? Why is it not a very simplistic analysis? Where is all this money going? It certainly doesn't go to you. It certainly doesn't go to me. Where on earth is all of this money going? I mean, all it is, again, is Democratic Party NGOs, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars going into NGOs. And it's not just NGOs, because it's also government entities, which are in and of themselves NGOs. Really, the military has become a giant NGO. Does anybody really think we need $1 trillion a year to run the military? Does anybody really think that? Or is it endless? Aaron was talking about it right before the show. Lloyd Austin, what's he doing now? He's a lobbyist. So he is now on the board of something, whether it's probably Raytheon again. He's on the board of Raytheon lobbying for contracts in the military, which he's basically already secured as defense secretary. Enriching himself. That's all that it's about are politicians. I mean, we're talking about a couple hundred thousand people worldwide enriching themselves at our demise. That's it. It really is about that. You don't ever see the money. Are highways pristine? Is all the trash gone? Hey, Will, how's the veteran system? They just growled. That was a growl you heard from a Marine. All right, not good. All right, if you want to get a federal permit, you're looking at 6, 7, 8 years before you get, because it's just, nobody cares and nobody works hard. Only 6% of the federal workforce shows up at work every day. 6%. We have 300,000 federal buildings, most of them unoccupied. Right now, that you and I pay hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars per year to rent. Where's all this money go? I mean, I'll give them some credit. Maybe like Yellowstone is nice. I've been to that park and Glacier National. That's nice. Yellowstone, beautiful. I'll give them credit on that. They were well-maintained parks. I'll give them that. You know, some things that are good. Our military winning wars when they're allowed to? Great. But our federal highway, whatever. You and I get nothing. Basically, it's people, not Newt necessarily, but people like Newt Gingrich using government to purposely enrich themselves. Like I said, I'm not saying necessarily that's true about Mr. Newt. I'm just saying people like him. And how dare him act like and actually think that the idiots running the show are the standard for expertise. All right, finish it for me.
And Trump's going to have to work with them to find a way to make them more comfortable. Because it's not an automatic yes. And some
it should be.
Very serious guys who've been around a long time.
Serious guys, been around. Okay, there you go. There it is again. That'll be it for that video. I can't take any more. Serious guys who've been around a long time. How are they serious? Aaron, you got the dead clock?
Yeah.
How exactly are you serious? How are you serious? How are you a serious guy who's been around a long time? How does that, if you've been around a long time, that takes away from your validity and credibility.
Right.
Look at what you've done for a long time. Look at what John Thune has done. Look at what John Cornyn has done. Look at what John Kennedy's done. Look what Ted Cruz has done. Oh, these are genuine guys who have been around for a long time. And Elon Musk is an interloper. Happens just to be the richest man on the planet. He's an interloper, though. He's not been around for a long time. These are accomplished guys. Yeah, accomplished in ineptitude. Accomplished in incompetence. This is incompetent. Republican or Democrat, it's incompetent. Because if you're a Republican, you can obstruct this spending even if you're not in power. And when we are in power, the debt goes up the exact same rate. We can do it together. You ready? That 891 that you see right there is going to turn to 892 in the next 5 or 6 seconds. Do you know why? Because here it goes. Ready? 9. Boop. Now, if we were to count 19 seconds from right now, it's going to turn again. That's $1 million we're spending every 19 seconds. Why? Where does it go? Look at debt per citizen. Per United States citizen. Every man, woman, and child. Not the illegals, of course. $107,000 you owe on this debt right now. Debt per taxpayer. So those of us who actually pay taxes, we owe $323,000. U.S. federal spending official, $7 trillion per year. But we bring in $4 to $5 trillion in tax revenue. How does that make sense to anybody? And as Peter St. Ange says, quantitative easing is what they call printing money. You and I go to federal prison for the rest of our lives if we do that. This is the system that we're living in so that they can personally enrich themselves. And I'm talking about a circle of several hundred thousand people. Whether it's the former politicians like the Dianne Feinsteins, what is Dianne? She passed away. Barbara Boxer, what does she do now? She's a former senator, right, from the same place as Feinstein, Northern California. What does she do now? She's a lobbyist for China. Aaron, give me a China.
China.
There you go. That's what she does now. And that same thing Lloyd Austin does. It's a giant circle bleep symbiote of people enriching themselves. While this happens, that's all that it's about. There's nothing else. And Elon says no. And people like Newt Gingrich says, no, listen to the experts who have brought us to this. How can you be an expert and bring us to this? How can this be a result of expertise? How do you give anybody credibility? I don't care who it is. I mean, I can name anybody except for the ones who actually stand against the debt and actually vote against it every time. I don't agree with Thomas Massie every time. I agree with him about 90% of the time, or Rand Paul 100% of the time. Rand Paul made a big mistake on tariffs. He's wrong on tariffs. He's absolutely wrong. And his argument makes no sense, and neither does Elon's about tariffs, because Elon came out against the tariffs today, and he's wrong too. Because how are you suddenly against tariffs when we implement them, and you never say a word when foreign governments implement them against us? Then how are they wrong in your mind? It makes no sense whatsoever. None of it does, as well as saying somebody has expertise that brings us to this and scoffing like Newt Gingrich did at Elon Musk. Well, these guys, you know, these are established politicians. They've been around for a long time. These are smart men. They've been around for a long time. How are they smart? Every year they vote for it. Every single year. I don't care how conservative they sound. Every single year they spend us into another $2 trillion in debt. Every year, no matter who's president, no matter who's running the Congress, no matter who's running the Senate. Tom, does that mean you're not a committed Republican? Absolutely committed to the Republican. I'm a committed Republican to the Republican platform, not to a Republican politician. All right, let's finally go to the next one. I think we're at Elon Musk tweet, aren't we, Will?
Yes, sir.
All right, Elon Musk tweet. Here's really kind of how it all started. Aaron, today the 7th or the 6th?
5th.
5th. So today's the 5th. So this is really how it started. It really got inflammatory yesterday. So Elon Musk, call your senator, call your congressman. Bankrupting America is not okay. Kill the bill. That's how it all started. This is how it got inflammatory. All right, we're going to cover it all the back and forth here. This will probably be all that I go through since sorry, 937. All right, go to the next one for me, the rabbit hole tweet. All right, no, correction, Will. Go to the next one for me, national debt year by year. So here it is. I mean, and again, this only, Aaron, blow that up. But what year does that end at? Is it 2023?
2023.
All right, so this only ends at, imagine, this is 2023. Add another $6 trillion to that. Okay, so imagine where the bar would be now. Look at where, Aaron, what's the start? 77, right? Am I seeing that right?
Yep.
1977. So 1977, look at our debts and deficits. And those are blue and red shows you who was in control. Does that look pretty much 50-50 to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So it doesn't matter. Look at all the debts and deficits under Republicans. Slightly worse with Democrats. Slightly worse. Slightly worse. Certainly not 2020. Look at 2020. Look at that. Boom. Why? Because everyone was afraid to say what was true. What was true is this is a very, very survivable 99.98% survival virus, and everyone was afraid to say it because people were going to accuse you of lacking compassion. Compassion for what? What am I lacking compassion for? Because I'm telling you the truth. It reminds me of Galatians 4:16. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's why it spiked. It was absolute propaganda. People were afraid to tell the truth because of the societal and relational ramifications of telling the truth. And you just have to think about the entire argument, right? So if it's a 99.99% survivable virus, and I'm going to sit here and you're going to claim that it's 99.99% non-survivable, and I'm simply telling you the truth, and I refuse to tell you the truth because I'm afraid to offend the person who's living in a delusion. That's exactly what happened there. And Donald Trump is culpable in all that. He is. He knew it wasn't a threat. We all knew. He was the one who came out and gave us all the logic. Fauci's out there. 3% death rate. Donald Trump was the first one that came out to his credit and said that COVID had a less than 1% death rate and probably substantially less than 1%. That was the truth. And then he opened up the country in 60 days. It should have been in 6 minutes. You never should have closed off travel to China. No, let everybody get exposed. It's a cold. That's all that it was. But that's what caused that exponential debt go up. But that was all voted on by everybody. The only person who held out voting for those big, giant COVID bills was Thomas Massie. That's it. Tom must be a Thomas Massie sick of it. No, if he's right, I'll say that he's right. If he's wrong, I'll say that he's wrong. Massie is right most of the time. Trump is right most of the time. He's horribly wrong on Real ID. Horribly wrong now with the new Moderna mRNA vaccination, and RFK's wrong too and all that. The new COVID mRNA vaccination. Great idea. Horrible idea. Oh, yeah. Let's see if I can find it. I'm trying to remember something specifically about it. Where the heck is it? Gosh, I can't remember it. But anyway, I want to tell you something about it. But anyway, regardless, so here's the debt. That's where we are. Go to the next one for me, the rabbit hole tweet. It took over 200 years for the U.S. debt to reach $12 trillion. 200 years to get there. And now where are we? 37. It took us 200 years to get to $12 trillion. And now look where we're at. Look where we're at. I mean, look where the debt was in 2020 in comparison to where we are now. It's completely and totally out of control, and people are acting like it's no big deal, as Elon says, whistling past the graveyard. It's not sexy to talk about. It's more sexy to talk about the nuclear war possibilities in Ukraine, which are definitively there. And it's sexy to talk about what I talk about all the time, which is vaccines and Mark of the Beast and quantum dot tattoos and CBDC and social credit systems. That's ominous music and very exciting to talk about, but this is like, you know, Al Capone tax evasion stuff. What did Al Capone get arrested for? Murder? RICO statute? Criminal conspiracy? No. He didn't even get arrested for bootlegging alcohol. He got arrested for tax evasion. Wasn't sexy, but it was true. And that's what's going on here. And it's all act like it's no big deal. And Newt Gingrich, we got to make the senators comfortable about what it is that they're willing to cut and not cut. I can't find any symbolism to compare that to. Only thing I can say is, how ridiculous is that? It should be, how much do we need to cut because this is an emergency? It'd be like if it would be like if you had if there was a fire, and you were trying to figure out should we pour this kind of water on it or that kind of water on it, and everyone stands around and has a discussion about it while the building's burning down. It's exactly what's happening right now, and Elon Musk recognizes it, and for some reason Donald Trump doesn't. Because you even have to go in and you're going to have to attack entitlements. You're going to have to attack military spending. You cannot spend. He just raised it $100 billion. It was $900 billion. Now it's $1 trillion. And by the way, we're now spending more on our debt maintenance, on the interest to the debt, which I think is $1.4 trillion, than we are now spending on the military. And Newt Gingrich wants to talk about these are establishment guys who know what they're talking about. Don't listen to Elon because he hasn't been in government. Well, if government gave you a measure of credibility, then we wouldn't be $37 trillion in debt. If they were actually experts, we wouldn't be at $37 trillion in debt. All right, go to the next one for me. John Ehrlichman tweet. Interest costs on the U.S. federal debt. There it is right here for everybody to see. And that only there starts in 2014. Remember, 2000, we had less than $1 trillion in debt. Less than $1 trillion in debt. Basically, we had in 2000, we had less in debt than what we're now paying in interest to the debt.
Oh my gosh.
That's where we're at. And they act like this is an emergency and that these people who brought us this place are fiscal experts. How are any of these people? I could name all the Democrats too. How's Schumer? How's Pelosi? AOC? Iona Presley? Rashida Tlaib? Ilhan Omar, anybody you want to name. And I could go through a list of Republicans. What are these people experts at exactly? Why are they given credibility as financial experts or budgetary experts when none of them could successfully run a Burger King? Not one of them. Not one of them. You put John Ossoff. You put John Ossoff, senator out of Georgia. What can he do? Nothing. He can do absolutely nothing. And here it is. Interest cost in the U.S. debt 2024, $1.3 trillion. That's more than our military budget. And it goes up next year. 2023, 800. This is just what we pay in interest. And you wouldn't have to pay all that interest if we didn't have the Fed printing money to buy bonds to keep interest rates lower. Imagine being the Fed. And you're printing the money, causing the bond crisis, and you print more money to buy bonds to alleviate the bond crisis. It's exactly what's happening every single day. And people think this is going to go on and on and on and on, where you have to make the senators comfortable in cutting debt. Like Newt says, Elon doesn't have the skills to make the senators comfortable. Why are we making any of these fucking baboons comfortable? All right, let's go to the next one. Elon Musk tweet. So interest payments already consume 25% of all government revenue. 25% of all of our revenue goes to paying interest. If the massive deficit spending continues, there will only be money for interest payments and nothing else. No Social Security, no medical, no defense, nothing. He's absolutely right. It will eventually get that way. If we're 25% now, what will we be next year? 27%. What will be the following year? 29%. What will be the following year? 38%. Whatever. I mean, if we're 50, right now, the OBBBB, I had one extra B in there. That's because I'll just put the word boondoggle, the one big, beautiful bill boondoggle. If we're $57 trillion in debt, folks, all the entitlements are gone anyway, so you might want to cut them now. Let's go to the next one. Speaker Mike Johnson, and Elon actually put this, and I took it off of his tweet. He goes, where's this guy? This is him in 2023. This is Mike Johnson in 2023. The federal debt has just topped $31.4 trillion. And the Congressional Budget Office now estimates federal spending for fiscal year 2023 will total $6.22 trillion, or more than $197,000 per second. This is not sustainable, but yet now he's advocating for it. If it's not sustainable, then why is he advocating for it right now? How is it sustainable now when it wasn't sustainable then, when it's actually much bigger now? Because notice the debt then. This is just 2023. Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong. We're in the first half of 2025, right?
Yep.
So this is 2023. And look at the debt difference. $31 trillion. Now we're just shy of $37 trillion in debt. And back then that was unsustainable, right? It's just like, how's Mike Johnson any different than Barack Hussein Obama, who said that George W. Bush's $8 trillion deficit, this is how it went great, wasn't it? Even Billy Clinton didn't bring us to $1 trillion worth of debt. He spent a lot of money. And after George W. Bush spent 8 years in office after Billy Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, running in the presidential campaign, said that George W. Bush's $8 trillion deficit, so imagine that, for all of those years, all the way up to 2000, from 1776 to 2000, we built up basically an $800 billion debt. George W. Bush, the fiscal conservative, he says that, so you elect him as a fiscal conservative. He says that. He runs as a fiscal conservative, just like all these other buffoons. They run as a fiscal conservative so that we vote them in, and then they act as they really are, which is a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist, which is what Mike Johnson is. All this verbiage right here is for a snapshot because, as usual in 2023, he could do nothing about it. Now he can, so if it wasn't sustainable then, and it certainly isn't sustainable now because it's far worse. If he really believed that, then why is he not attacking it? Why? And by the way, the OBBB, the One Big Beautiful Bill, was actually a creation of Mike Johnson. And Donald Trump has just jumped lock, stock, and barrel on board with it because he makes sure that he shines Trump's shoes, licks his boots, kisses his butt in the bill, funds all the things Donald Trump wants funded. And then Donald Trump is saying, well, I want those things funded. I guess I'll go ahead because I want those things funded. I'll accept the pork. Because I can't get the things I want funded unless I okay the pork barrel spending. That's what's brought us to this deficit. Oh, the government will close. Who cares? Who cares? Oh, there's going to be a 60% tax increase in early next year if the OBB is not, if the Big Beautiful Bill is not passed. Okay, well, we can deal with, can't we just legislate about no tax increase? Why do we have to pass a bill? It's very much like when you go to DirecTV and you buy a package. I would rather be on the cafeteria plan, wouldn't you? I just want these 17 channels and that's it. What's the price per channel? Yeah. But no, what they do is make you buy 113 channels at minimum, and it includes all kinds of crap you don't really want, but they want you to spend the money. Same exact thing here. In order for Donald Trump to get what he wants, he has to be okay with what Mike Johnson wants. And what Mike Johnson ostensibly wants is to fund Planned Parenthood, wants to fund the lopping off of penises, testicles, and breasts of minors and transgender illegal prisoners. Because that's what Mike does. Mike funds Democrats. Mike is a Democrat, again. And I don't mean to be redundant. But we need to understand something here. Most Republicans are actually Democrats. They run as Republicans in their district, then legislate as Democrats. In most Republican districts, no Democrat will ever be elected. In most Democrat districts, a Republican will never be elected. And then you have the swing districts. But really, you can go 40-40 either end and then 20 in the middle. So you have basically 80% of districts will either go Republican or Democrat. And 20 and will always be that way, as you're seeing in Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, and everything else. They're never going to be Republican. Never. Never in a million years. Not going to happen. The elections are fraudulent. They're printing ballots in the middle of the night. It's never going to change the Republican. And in our elections, even though ours are honest, where I'm sitting right now, Greg Stubbe's position will always be Republican. So let's just use Stubbe's position as an example. Stubbe is a legitimate conservative, an absolute legitimate conservative. But no Democrat will ever be elected to his seat. So all you have to do is get in. That's it. You have to hold that seat. That's what Mike Johnson does out of Louisiana. No Democrat will ever be elected to his seat. He knows that. So all he has to do is campaign as a Republican, and he gets elected, and then he legislates as a Democrat. And that's what most Republicans are doing in that 40%. And then oftentimes in the swing districts also. They campaign as a conservative. So they hold that seat from a legitimate conservative. They keep that seat from ever being held by a legitimate conservative. And you bring in people, whether it's Cornyn, who votes with us 49% of the time and ran for majority leader in the Senate. Thune, who is our majority leader, votes with us 51% of the time. He votes with Chuck Schumer 49% of the time. Lindsey Graham votes Democrat more often than Republican, but he holds that seat so a legitimate conservative will never get in it. Because everyone they give the usual statement every election. Well, it's better to have a Republican there than a Democrat. How's it better when they legislate as a Democrat? Well, we don't want to run that real conservative guy. He's a little bit unelectable. We know Lindsey Graham will actually win in the general. If we run this conservative, then we're going to lose some of our more left-leaning or centrist Republicans. Well, what's the difference if Lindsey goes and legislates as a leftist? You might as well run the legit conservative. Otherwise, you end up with Mike Johnson. This is unsustainable in 2023, which was a much lower deficit, has a much higher now, and couldn't bend over any faster for Joe Biden, spending his minibus practices, spending his omnibus practices. Is it really 953? Goodness gracious, this show goes by fast, at least for me. All right, let's go to the next one. A video from Autism Capital. Here's Trump. Let's get into the dispute now between Trump and Elon. Autism Capital video. Trump speaks on Elon coming out against the Big Beautiful Bill. Play it for me.
So we've done a great job. Elon knew that. Elon endorsed me very strongly. He actually went up and campaigned for me. I think I would have won. Susie would say I would have won Pennsylvania easily anyway, even if the governor ran, the real governor, not the governor from Minnesota, he's a sick puppy, that guy. That poor guy, I feel sorry for him. But they made a bad choice with him. But if you pick Shapiro or anybody else, I spoke to him recently about his house being set on fire, which was terrible. But if they picked him, I would have won Pennsylvania. I won it by a lot. But I'm very disappointed because Elon knew the inner workings of this bill better than almost anybody sitting here, better than you people. He knew everything about it. He had no problem with it. All of a sudden, he had a problem. And he only developed the problem when he found out that we're going to have to cut the EV mandate, because that's billions and billions of dollars. And it really is unfair. We want to have cars of all types. Electric, we want to have electric, but we want to have a gasoline, combustion. We want to have different. We want to have hybrids. We want to have all. We want to be able to sell everything. And when that was cut, and Congress wanted to cut it, he became a little bit different. And I can understand that. But he knew every aspect of this bill. He knew it better than almost anybody. And he never had a problem until right after he left. And if you saw the statements he made about me, which I'm sure you can get very easily, it's very fresh on tape. He said the most beautiful things about me. And he hasn't said bad about me personally, but I'm sure that'll be next. But I'm very disappointed in Elon. I've helped Elon a lot.
Mr. President, I just want to clarify, did he raise any of these concerns with you privately before he raised them publicly? And this is the guy you put in charge of cutting spending. Should people not take him seriously about spending now? Are you saying this is all sour grapes?
No, he worked hard and he did a good job. And I'll be honest, I think he misses the place. I think he got out there and all of a sudden he wasn't in this beautiful Oval Office, and he's got nice offices too. But there's something about this one. I was telling the chancellor, this is where it is. People come in here, even from Germany. They come in and they walk into the Oval Office, and it's just a special place. It's, you know, World War I, it started and it ended here, and World War II, and so many other things. Everything big comes right from this beautiful space. It's now much more beautiful than it was 6 months ago. A lot of good things are happening in this room. And I'll tell you, he's not the first. People leave my administration and they love us. And then at some point they miss it so badly, and some of them embrace it and some of them actually become hostile. I don't know what it is. It's sort of Trump derangement syndrome, I guess they call it. But we have it with others too. They leave and they wake up in the morning and the glamour's gone. The whole world is different and they become hostile. I don't know what it is. Someday you'll write a book about it and you'll let us know. Yeah.
All right. So that is, of course, we're right on a timeline here. That's before it got horrendously bad right there. And then it went personal. Of course, then went personal. We're going to get to all that. We're going to get to it tonight. Really, no matter how long I got to stay to do it. But anyway, I'm not anticipating going longer than normal, but I'm just saying we're going to get to it. I'm going to finish this stack right here. It's all Elon v. Trump. So there's where, you know, Trump came out with his statement. You know, who knows what applies to Elon, what doesn't. Basically, he's implying that Elon got disenfranchised, so to speak, when Trump decided not to give the rebates for EVs, tax rebates, where you get a rebate for buying an EV. That rebate goes to the consumer, not to the dealership. So it's great for the dealerships because you get a tax credit for buying EVs. So Trump rescinded that, as he should have. Nobody should get any tax rebates based on what type of car they buy. That shouldn't happen. So he did the right thing with that. And you're like, but a lot of people will say, well, Elon has been on the record. Aaron was saying it, and he's absolutely correct. Is Elon's been on the record for years and years saying that he didn't want anything out of Trump and he wanted the EV rebate to be taken away. So we'll deep dive into all this. But let me cover this first. The Vigilant Fox video. Look how happy MSNBC is that they're fighting, which should say, don't publicly fight. Just get on the phone and yell at each other. Do a Zoom call and yell at each other. Meet in person. They're both multi-billionaires. Donald Trump's worth between, I don't know, 10 to 12 billion. Elon Musk, 250 billion. Get on your private jet. Go just take a private jet together. Fly to Madrid and scream at each other for hours and sip Diet Cokes, whatever. That's all you need to do. And figure it out and don't have a public fight. Otherwise, this happens and Nicole Wallace is having the day of her life now. Play for me.
Nicole, I'll just say briefly to you. I thought the Drake-Kendrick feud was bad and I thought it got ugly, but this is already worse.
This is epic. I cannot wait to go watch. If you're gonna go there, I'm gonna go up there.
We're gonna go there. We're gonna get into it as you've been covering it, the serious and the messiness of it. Good to see you, Nicole.
Have a great show.
Look how happy she is. Look, Aaron's running the video. Look how happy. Look at Nicole Wallace's facial expressions as they talk about this. Is that running at regular speed?
Yeah, it is.
It is. Okay, yeah. So it looks like slow motion. Looks like he's going. Looks slow. But anyway, look how happy she is. This is the greatest day of her life. Look at this. She's been frowning from January, February. She's been frowning since November. Been the most miserable person on the planet. And because Elon and Trump decide to fight in public, now she's the happiest person in the world. The people that you don't want to be happy are happy. And that's why you don't fight in public. All right, let's go to the next one. Autism Capital tweet. Elon has been publicly and privately saying he doesn't care about the EV tax credit since last year. So Donald Trump says that Elon turned against him, started to turn against the administration because Trump said that he was removing the EV tax credit. But I heard Donald Trump and Elon Musk in the room in an interview talking about how Elon wants nothing, which we have that video also, and that Donald Trump removed the EV tax credit. And so is this correct? Because Donald Trump's saying right now that Elon Musk got disgruntled because of the removal of the EV tax credit. But Elon Musk was fully on board 6 months ago knowing that the EV tax credit was going to be removed. So now that it's been removed, he suddenly gets disgruntled? That doesn't make sense. This is direct from Forbes. Both he and Trump have also publicly together said this during speeches and rallies. The narrative that this TIF is because of EV credits is false. All right, now is it false though? See, you and I are going to try to be a fly on the wall. We're going to try to figure this thing out. Let's go to the next one. So let's break this down. This is such good stuff right here. This is Grace Chung. Now we're operating now in the Bannon orbit. Now Bannon is vehemently anti-Elon Musk, thinks that basically he is a puppet of the CCP. That's where Bannon's at. So everyone has to understand, when you're dealing with human relationships, there's so many. There, like Will's my friend. So I got Will as my friend. But how many people talk to Will? Hundreds of people. He's a teacher. He's never misses church. He's here every Sunday. He's a part-time employee of the church. Everything. So lots of people are talking to him so they can influence him, right? There's so many tributaries to the river that lead to the ocean of a problem. So it's very difficult to say when you're dealing with humans who just change on the drop of a dime. I do, you do, everything. Think about it. You get one little piece of bad news, your whole day's ruined. You're in a great mood, you get a little piece of bad news. You know, I mean, in your whole day's ruined. We change quickly. So you have to honestly look at all the various contributing facts to the case. So Grace Chong video, Mark Caputo on Bannon gives the inside baseball on why Elon Musk is attacking the president, why he's attacking the president of the United States. Play for me.
You've actually got the inside baseball for why Elon Musk is attacking the president of the United States. He had a couple of big asks that were turned down and he's not happy about it. You want to walk through the substance of your article, sir?
Well, two people that I spoke to who have talked to Mr. Musk for a long period of time had said that over time, he had a number of asks and he didn't get them. And they were big asks. One of them was specifically in this bill, and it was the electric vehicle tax credit. And that was worth billions. I've looked at the CBO figures. I've looked at the various analyses. I can't tell how many billions it saved, but it's many billions. And Tesla really wanted it. It spent a lot of money lobbying for it. And I'm told that, contrary to what some have suggested, Elon Musk spent a good amount of time and political capital in the White House trying to persuade the president and the bill writers to put this language in the legislation to save that tax credit for electric vehicle purchases. That didn't happen. So that was his one sort of big ask out of the one big beautiful bill that he didn't get. Then he had the special government employee status. He wanted it extended, I'm told. It is set to expire, or it did expire around May 30th. And he was essentially told, look, there's really nothing we can do to truly extend it. And that was one of the things that he sort of wanted to stick around. And don't get me wrong, he also needed to take care of Tesla for a variety of reasons. But nevertheless, that was the second thing. A third thing, Starlink at FAA. FAA has to revamp its air traffic control system. And he wanted to be in line to have Starlink take it over, satellite technology, and was told, look, we need fiber optics. And the satellite-based system is not really for air traffic control. We can't just have it limited to that. And also, there were conflict of interest appearance problems. And he was essentially told no. Now, the fourth thing happened late Saturday night, which was sort of one of those Trump world or Trump White House whodunits, where the NASA administrator was a longtime Musk ally who Musk had put in there. And at the last minute on Saturday night, Donald Trump canceled him and said, look, I'm not going forward with this. I'm going to pick someone new. Now, there's been a lot of behind the scenes White House intrigue over that. Some people say it was specifically done as sort of an FU to Elon Musk. Others deny that that's the case. But nevertheless, it happened. And that was Musk's guy. And so after that, people have pointed out, Musk really soured on the legislation. Prior to that, he had sort of common criticisms that people have with the bill, which is it spends too much. It spends too much of the tax code. The deficits are too big. You've played those debates. But what really changed between now and the last time Musk issued his mild criticisms of this legislation was the NASA administrator, or the suggested NASA administrator, Mr. Isaacson.
All right. Now, what I cut out, that actual Mark Caputo tweet, that's a White House insider, White House reporter right there, speaking on the Bannon's War Room. So Musk's, this is the tweet. Musk's decision to trash Trump's legacy legislation came after, which really Mike Johnson wrote. Trump didn't have anything to do with writing this legislation. Is Mike Johnson's. And Trump just agrees with it, though. So he's agreed. So they're now partners. Musk's decision to trash Trump's legacy legislation came after failing to win favorable treatment in four instances. And this is what people are saying inside the White House. So you have the one side where Trump is saying that Elon became disgruntled when he canceled the EV tax credit in the big, beautiful bill. As Aaron has said, Aaron, let's get that video that you have. Play that.
We don't need the $7,500 tax credit. I would say, honestly, I would just can this whole bill. Don't pass it. That's my recommendation.
What about the support, though, for the charging network? I mean, there are parts of this bill. No?
No. I mean, do we need support for gas stations? We don't. So... There's no need for this for support for a charging network. I would delete it. Delete.
Okay. All right.
I'm literally saying get rid of all subsidies, but also for oil and gas.
There he is. I mean, and by the way, why are we subsidizing any industry? But I'm not going to digress into that. So there you have. That's Elon. That's about a year into the Biden administration. And him and Trump at numerous rallies and interviews said they are canceling the EV tax credit. So why would he suddenly become disgruntled when they do? But maybe that's what happened. Maybe he thought that Trump would just throw him a bone and that Trump would say, you know what? We've been together. You've helped me out a lot, which he certainly did. And regardless of what Trump says, Elon helped him either to cross the finish line or make the election not very close. Maybe Trump would have won without him. I don't know. But now what Trump is claiming is that Elon suddenly became disgruntled because Tesla didn't get tax credit, which kind of belies what they've been saying, both of them, for over a year. And what Elon said right there in late 2021. The other issue, number two, is that Elon wanted to extend his White House employment status and Trump turned him down. Aaron, if you could put that one up. So Trump turned him down and Trump's saying this. Elon was wearing thin. I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted that he knew for months, which doesn't make any sense because Trump was pimping Teslas on the White House lawn. That I knew for months I was going to do, and he just went crazy. Now, is any of that true? Listen, again, we weren't there, so leave that up for me. So Trump, Elon wanted to stay longer, according to Mark Caputo, not Trump. Caputo is a White House reporter, not Trump, and not working for Trump. And then what Elon wanted, number three, was Starlink to basically be the, Aaron, if you think of the right terminology, just jumping right over top of me, wanted it to be basically the tech support for the FAA.
Yeah, their network. Their network.
Their network for the FAA, which would probably be correct, which, by the way, I just wanted to say, like, I had Starlink, and now I have Frontier, and Starlink's better. Just so you know. So, Frontier, actually, it's a line running into your house underground, and Starlink's better. But anyway, Starlink is awesome. So, is that what, is it all of these, are all these the reasons? And then Elon definitively wanted a very devout Democrat, I mean, a hyper-leftist Democrat, to be, see, it goes both ways here. It says Elon wanted a Democratic Party sycophant to run NASA. And Trump vetoed that idea and said no and put in a Trump ally to run NASA, which is smart. Trump has learned. Don't put in your political enemies in pivotal positions because they will backdoor you and impeach you if you leave the Alexander Vindmans in place on the National Security Council. That's what happens to you. So was Elon vying for these other things as well as the EV tax credit, or did he vie for just three out of the four, the extended White House stay, the Starlink for the FAA, and wanted his ally to run NASA? Now, it would be very beneficial for Elon to have his ally running NASA, since really, for all intents and purposes, Elon is now NASA. So which one is it? I'm telling you right now, listen to the guy. I'm not telling you to buy into what I say, lock, stock, and barrel, but please listen to the guy whose entire adult life has been about conflict. 25 years in law enforcement and worst conflict inside of a church for the last 23 years. Mediating conflict, being involved with people's ridiculous offenses, watching 48-year-old men be offended about paint color. Okay, whatever it may be. Okay, so whatever it is, watching people be offended that they can't be a singer on the worship team who can't sing. Watching people be offended because they can't be a guitar player on the worship team and that because they can't play guitar. Whatever it may be. Watching people, telling people they can't be a greeter when they're mean. No, you can't be a greeter. You're a mean human being. We don't want you at the door as a representative of the church. So just trust me, in conflicts, it's percentages of correct, not 100% one way or the other. Unless you're dealing with absolute factual data. If it's a conflict over a fact, like vaccines stopping transmission and infection, and Aunt Susie won't let you in her house because you're not vaxxed. Well, the vax doesn't stop transmission and infection. Go ahead. You're 100% right. She's wrong. She's asinine. That's not really a conflict. Here, you're talking about one person wants a position. One person wants, to have his stay at the White House extenuated. The other person potentially doesn't. Does Trump always tell the truth? We know he doesn't. Okay, he doesn't always tell the truth. These are not, people want to believe that Trump is saved and that he's, turned his life over to Christ. There's no real evidence of that. And I'm not saying it's not true, but there's really no evidence of it. So you're dealing with worldly men and you're dealing with a percentage of truth on both sides. Who's more right? We don't know. We weren't in the room. All right, Aaron, you can skip that one. We're going to skip that one. Go to the next one since we've already done it. So let's go to Elon Musk's tweet. There's actually two tweets here in one. Time, here we go. Let's go the Epstein route, shall we? At 10:12. I thought I'd be covering this at 9:23. But anyway, time to drop the really big bomb. At Real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. Okay, now Elon is cleverly wording this because Elon Musk is the the Tesla of Nikola Tesla of this time. A lot of Einstein of our time, whatever it may be. But he's cleverly wording this. He knows what he's doing by saying that Trump is in the Epstein files. There's 100,000 people in the Epstein files. The Epstein files are like two semi-trucks full of files, papers, photos, videos, and anything and everything else that probably none of us ever want to see. So he's cleverly saying that Trump is in the Epstein files. Well, of course he's in the Epstein files. That's already been publicly acknowledged. And we said on this podcast, probably the reason why it's not being released is because Trump is in the Epstein files. And Trump doesn't want to release. Trump never, let's just make this clear. Trump was never on the island, and Trump never diddled a child. We all know that. Trump certainly does not like children sexually. He likes women. We obviously know that. Gotten in lots of trouble with women. We got it. So Elon, for defamation protection, is wording this correctly. He's on the files, but not on the Epstein client list. He's being very careful about what he's saying there, as he should. And this is where Elon is wrong. This should never, ever have been tweeted. This never should have been posted. There's no reason to go here. Now, I and you and everybody else are like, where is the frickin' Epstein flight log? Where is it? Why has it not been released? It's probably not been released. Listen, if Trump was a mega star on the Epstein files, like if they had Trump on Epstein's island, out there in a mankini out on the beach with a bunch of 14-year-olds, we don't think that would have been published by the Merrick Garland DOJ, the Christopher Wray, James Comey DOJ, that would have been published. So that none of that exists. So Elon should never put this out. Was Donald Trump a friend of Jeffrey Epstein's? Yes, until Donald Trump kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago for inappropriate behavior with female employees and female staff members and female friends of Donald Trump. So he got kicked out of Mar-a-Lago, and they never really were seen together again. But there are numerous photos of him with Jeffrey Epstein, as there is with everybody else. There's a million people, that's a little hyperbolic, that are in this files. Maybe it is a million that are in the files. This is the real reason why they have not been made public, which I actually agree with that part, but I don't agree with posting it. But I think that's what it is, because that's why Biden didn't release it either. It's not because Biden was flying with Epstein, because he wasn't. Biden wasn't flying with Epstein. But a lot of Biden allies were. It's why Tricky little Dickie Durbin, won't release the Epstein flight logs that Marsha Blackburn, senator out of Tennessee, has been calling on him to release for years. Because Tricky Dickie Durbin wasn't on the Epstein flight log, but a lot of his little buddies were, and a lot of his campaign contributors were. That's why. Mark this post for the future. The truth will come out. It will. It may not. Who knows if they're ever going to be released and how many of them were deleted during the 4 years of the Biden administration? Probably a lot. And then you had, the FBI agent in New York, the Southern District of New York, basically saying, don't give up the information until the FBI had to raid the FBI. They had to have the FBI raid the Southern District office in New York. So the FBI raiding the FBI. Go to the next one for me. So here's Ian Miles Chung puts out, President versus Elon, who wins? My money's on Elon. Trump should be impeached, and JD Vance should replace him. Now, Miles Chung has tons of followers on Twitter. I think I still follow him on Twitter. So anyway, and then he posts the tweets that I just posted, and Elon agreed that the president should be impeached and JD Vance should replace him. You don't do that. That's where Elon has gone overboard. He's gone way overboard doing that. He is wrong here. He is wrong. At that point right there, it became about, now, if Donald Trump is lying, and this, here's the thing. Even though Elon's wrong for posting these things, I sympathize with him. And this may sound way more lukewarm than I ever am, but you're dealing with people, and I'm not saying definitively what's right and what's wrong. What's right is in the Bible, what's wrong is in the Bible, and follow it. But in human interactions, I can understand it and not agree with it. Like, somebody taking vengeance, whatever it may be, Vengeance is not ours, but I understand when people do it because I'm a vengeful person myself. I wish Romans 12:19 was not in the Bible. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I wish that wasn't in there because I love to take vengeance. And I actually kind of love conflict, so it's not good. So anyway, I understand. Think about if it was you, this is defending Elon here. He's still wrong for boasting it, but I'm saying I understand why he did it. If Donald Trump is bold-faced lying about the EV tax credit and just lying about you, how hard is that to deal with without posting something? Could I do it? Aaron's thinking right now, no. Aaron knows me better than just about anybody on the planet.
Probably okay. Not.
If you were to come out and just bold, if you were to put out right now, Tom Lipley closed for COVID.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was a COVID-caving, CCC COVID-caving Christian. Okay, would I be able to hold back?
No.
I mean, would I get Davy Jones on it, and I'd be like, research every last thing on what that person did with COVID, and let's expose them for who they are.
I would gladly do it.
And Aaron, well, of course, Aaron wouldn't. But anyway, so I mean, so I don't fault Elon for doing it, but he was wrong in doing it. I do fault him for doing it, but I understand why he did. That would be the best way to phrase it. All right, let's go to the next one. So Elon's talking about Donald Trump being in the Epstein files. Well, we already knew he was in the Epstein files. And I agree that that's probably why they're not being released, is who wants to deal with that hailstorm? Because even though it's going to be innocuous, it'll be that Donald Trump had associations, and just like RFK, probably flew on his jet a couple times because that was the Mossad, because we all know Epstein is a CIA, MI6, Mossad operative. We all know that. And that was the plan, is get people on your plane, have discussions with them, not necessarily to fly them to Epstein Island right away, but form a relationship with them and then find a way to get them in a compromising position, take a photograph of it, and then you control them for the rest of your life, called honeypotting or extortion, whatever it is. So we all know that Epstein was an operative for Mossad, CIA, and MI6. We already know that. But Donald Trump, and there's many people that were caught in the initial stages of that, as well as just cursory interactions with Epstein. You're dealing with a multi-billion. Remember, he had his office at Harvard till 2019. How many people then are in the Epstein files? Everybody who is involved at Harvard are in the Epstein files along with Trump. So this is I'm never going to pronounce this correctly, but Wojciech Panoski video. Donald Trump was the only reason... only person who helped Epstein victims. Play for me.
The only thing that I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who, in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I was going, that I wanted to talk to them, he is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know. And was very helpful in the information that he gave, and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us, sure. And that we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
That was in 2009?
That was in 2009.
And just remember, if I remember correctly, what you had going on with the Epstein case back in 2009 was you had the local jurisdiction actually trying to prosecute him for his crimes, and of course the federal government came in and covered up all his crimes, and then ended up convicting him of a very minor crime, and ended up staying in a jail that he could walk in and out of as he saw fit. As a child, convicted child rapist, a rapist, I believe, of a 14-year-old at the time. And he could just, he could go to work every day, go basically live in his office all day long while he was in jail. And I don't know whether that was a federal prosecutor or local prosecutor, but he just told you Donald Trump's the only person who helped Epstein victims, the only one who came in and said, you know, I'll just talk to you. You know, I don't need a lawyer present. You don't need a deposition, nothing. I'll just talk to you. He's the only one. So we all know, someone just wrote it. I'm going to give credit. Okay, let's do if I can find it now. Jenna Fogg, we all know about the Trump Epstein stuff. It's nothing, Burger. Agree. Jenna Fogg, 100%. You're 100% correct. We already know. It's nothing. But why would you want it out? That's why Trump is basically telling Pam Bondi, my opinion, don't release it. I just don't want to deal with that hail storm. Don't blame him, because think about what will Jake Tapper do with anything that's mentioned about Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein? You know, what will Chuck Todd do? Nicole Wallace. Rachel Maddow. What will they do if it's just Donald Trump bought, you know, a painting from Jeffrey Epstein? What will they do? I mean, imagine what will they do with those stories? So Donald Trump didn't want to deal with it. He has a lot of other things to do. And Elon should not have put that out. Just battle about the big, beautiful bill. Battle about the big, beautiful bill. And then battle about the Trump accusations. And then Trump can battle back against Elon's accusations. But don't bring up stuff that has not been brought up. Elon Musk, in light of President Trump's statement. So here's the statement at the bottom. The easiest way to save money, back to the big, beautiful bill now. Because that's Elon says that's the reason why he became disgruntled was because Donald Trump agreed to the big, beautiful bill in conjunction with Mike Johnson, which adds trillions of dollars to the debt, which is correct, which is absolutely antithetical to Doge. The easiest way to save money, because now he's talking back to Elon in our budget, billions and billions of dollars, is to terminate Elon's governmental subsidies and contracts. Horrible mistake when you're dealing with the Nikola Tesla of our time. I was surprised that Biden didn't do it. Now, see, there's now Trump's wrong. That would be like me saying to Aaron, if Aaron and I were in a conflict, and I said the worship team sucked the whole time he was here. It's absolutely wrong. The worship team's the best it's ever been since Aaron took over. So it'd be a lie. Okay, that's what Trump's doing now because this is Trump lashing out. Yeah. So Elon then retorts. In light of the president's statement about cancellation of my government contract, SpaceX will begin decommissioning its Dragon spacecraft immediately, which was the spacecraft that rescued the astronauts. Now, come on, guys. You know, even listen, I'm an immature piece of crap half the time. I am. Okay. I wish it wasn't true, but it's true. Okay. I haven't quit the church in 2025. No, yeah, I did. I quit it early in 2025. So I quit once.
You got it out of the way.
I got it out of the way for 2025. But you can't, it just can't go. This is where you go, you know what? I'm out. Even I do that in my conflicts. Eventually, I'm like, that's it. I'm out. So not good. All right, go to the next one for me. So here's Elon. This is all going on today, by the way. Notice how I'm printing these out. You see 28 minutes, 1 minute. Usually it'd be like dates. I have to ask Aaron what date is and stuff. Not here. It's all today. So Elon Musk posts about Donald Trump. I cannot believe the Republicans are extending the debt ceiling. I am Republican and I am embarrassed. No, Donald Trump wants to do it. Get rid of the debt ceiling. Have no debt ceiling. That's a great idea. He's one minute he's like, don't extend the thing. And now he's saying, don't have one at all. Right. The ultimate extension. And Elon Musk is right. Those were wise words from 2013. And then here we go again. I couldn't agree more. No member of Congress should be eligible for re-election if our country's budget is not balanced. Deficits are not allowed. Again, from 2012. And he goes, I couldn't agree more. And he shouldn't be changing. Just like Mike Johnson says that the debt was unsustainable at $31 trillion 2 years ago and now is perfectly fine with the debt accumulating more and more at $37 trillion. He doesn't consider $37 trillion to be unsustainable, but he does somehow consider $31 trillion to be unsustainable. He doesn't consider $1 trillion deficits to be unsustainable. I mean, he considers $1 trillion debts to be unsustainable, but not $2 trillion debts. So these are, you know, they're just nonsensical statements and nobody sticks to what they say. What's true is true. What's not true is true. What's not true is not true. It's as simple as that. And it's like in the pregame, Warren Buffett said, if your debt exceeds 3% of the GDP, you shouldn't be able to be elected. That's totally right. Our debt is more than our gross domestic product. He's given it more than I would. We should never be anywhere close to our gross domestic product. I can't remember whether he said within 3% or over 3%, but whatever. You can watch it. That's viral right now with Warren Buffett because of this dispute. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Trump War Room video. President Trump on Elon Musk. Play for me.
People, we're lucky to have him. I have to tell you, I want to thank you all. And Elon, I want to thank you. I know you've been through a lot with this horrible situation that happened.
I'm running the cause. That's
right. Saving America. It's
very unfair. What he is a patriot. He's a man that... I can tell you, he's a friend of mine. He's become a friend of mine. He supported me in the election. That's when I got to know him, really. I knew him a little bit from the first term, but not much. But he's a patriot more than anything else. He's never think of it. He has never asked me for a thing. He could have. I always say, I wonder if he's ever going to ask me for something. And that's always subject to change. And if it does change, I'll let you know about it. But Elon has never asked me for a thing. I mean, I got rid of the electric car mandate. I have no idea how that affects him, but possibly not good. I don't know. But he's never asked me for a thing. And I think that's an amazing tribute. I did get activated last week when I saw what they were doing. I said, he makes an incredible product, and we're going to go out and tell people you can't do that stuff and support him. They got to support him, because if he wasn't doing this, he wouldn't have any of these difficulties. And I think it's getting less and less. Pam has done a great job with regard to all of the, you know, I mean, I know the kind of investigations that are going on. If she finds them, which she will, she already found four of them. But I think they're going to suffer very grave consequences, because they're really terrorists.
All right, so there you go. We're friends. Elon's never asked me for anything. All right, go to the next one for me. So Donald Trump, True Social post. I don't mind Elon turning against me, but he should have done so months ago. This is one of the greatest bills ever presented to Congress. That is not correct. It's a record cut in expenses, $1.6 trillion. That's not correct. It adds $3 trillion to the debt every year. That's fact. And the biggest tax cut ever given. That part is true. If this bill doesn't pass, there will be a 68% tax increase, only because you're not doing it in line item fashion. You can always address the tax increase in a simple one subject bill. You can do that. But instead, what he's saying is, if we don't pass this big, beautiful bill, then the taxes are going to go up, because they've attached that part of it, the tax decrease, to the big, beautiful bill. You can always just do a standalone bill addressing that. So it's you know, Washington verbiage. It's saying something is attached to something. It doesn't have to be attached to something. Tax increase. And these and things far worse than that. It didn't create this mess. I didn't create this mess. I'm just here to fix it. This puts our country on a path of greatness. Make America great again. So, I mean, Elon is saying he turned against Trump because of the big, beautiful bill. Trump is saying that Elon turned against him because he wanted the EV tax credit for Tesla. And according to Mark Caputo, Elon wanted to extenuate his stay at the White House, his special government employment status. He wanted Starlink for the FAA, and he wanted his ally to leave NASA and to lead NASA. And because he didn't get those four things, that's why he left. It all depends on who you believe. It all depends on who you believe. Go to the next one for me. Thomas Massey tweet. The House has a 72-hour rule, which requires the bill to be posted 72 hours before passage. But the Speaker circumvented this rule with a manager's, about the big, beautiful bill, a manager's amendment. I'm sorry, that sounds great, doesn't it? That rewrote and added substantial portions of the bill as it went through the Rules Committee the night the bill was passed. Here's another House rule, which requires a day to pass before voting on a bill after the Rules Committee has modified. So you got, if it's been modified, then you have to give everybody another day to read the modifications. Would you believe the House voted to suspend the so-called same-day rule? So get what they did here. They eliminated the 72-hour rule, so you had just a few hours to read it. So you read that existing rule. This is why Marjorie Taylor Greene has come out and said she regrets voting for the bill now. Because in the bill, by the way, it has indemnity for tech companies. Remember what we were talking about last night with Real ID and the tech, whether it's OpenAI, Palantir, or anybody else, it has indemnity, and they're the same way that the big pharma companies, the way Moderna has indemnity and Pfizer has indemnity, where if you're harmed by the tech company, then you can't sue them, and it gives them rights over local jurisdictions, where if they want to build a server farm, there's a lot of water and cooling involved in that, a lot of environmental things. They can supersede all local jurisdictions. That's part of this bill too. Okay, and Marjorie Taylor Greene said, well, if I would have known what was in it, I wouldn't have voted for it. The reason why, you're like, well, she should have read it. She couldn't. Mike Johnson makes it so you can't read the bill. This is part of the reason why Elon's pissed off. You can believe it's because he didn't get his EV tax credit, but he said he didn't want it in 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. He said he never wanted the EV tax cut, so I don't buy into that one. Maybe it's the other things, the NASA thing. You know, maybe it's the White House employment status. Maybe it's the Starlink thing. I don't know. Neither do you. None of us know. But nobody knew what was in this freaking bill, and everybody voted for it. You're supposed to have 72 hours to read it. Imagine having 72 hours to read 1,000 documents. But anyway. So then they take away Mike Johnson using the manager's amendment, removes the 72-hour rule, so nobody even has 72 hours. So say now they have 6 hours. So then everyone has 6 hours to read the bill that they never could possibly read, And then they're going to modify it after you've read it. So you're like, okay, I can deal with this bill. I'm voting for it. But then they modify it. There's another House rule which requires a day to pass before voting on a bill after the Rules Committee has modified it. So then you have your only a few hours to read it because they eliminated the 72 hours rule. So now you have only a few hours to read it. And then they, if they're going to modify it, then they have to give you a full day to read those modifications. Well, would you believe the House voted to suspend the so-called same-day rule? So that's now been removed. So you don't know what the modifications are. You had no time to really read the bill. And then they modified it. Then you had zero time to read the modifications. This means the final language of the bill was released only a few minutes before debate began. The vote on the rule change. Nobody has any freaking idea. This is our government. These are our leaders whose expertise Newt Gingrich espouses. The vote on the rule change and the vote on the bill followed within a couple of hours. Elon is right. Members of Congress didn't even know what was in the bill until the night it passed. A few other members have also made this clear. Let me show you this. Elon Musk tweet. So Elon Musk fires back. The Trump tariffs will cause a recession in the second half of this year. Incorrect. That's just, listen, if tariffs cause recessions, why don't they cause recessions in all the countries that have imposed them on us for decades? So here's what's actually going on in the economy. Katarina Sonora Gitata video, bam, the Atlanta Fed. Play for me.
All right, somebody better check on CNN. Yesterday, they hated to see Trump's new poll numbers out, and today, they're not going to like this one either. The Atlanta Fed just updated their GDP forecast, and it's not just good, it's historic. They're now predicting our economy is going to grow by 4.6% this quarter. That's nearly 5% growth, folks. When's the last time we saw that? Oh, yeah, never under Biden. The last time was actually before Reagan. But wait, I thought we were heading into a Trump recession. At least that's what the liberal media kept screaming, right? Turns out Trump's actual policies are starting to kick in. Lower taxes, stronger trade deals, fewer regulations. Manufacturing is booming, exports are up, and the Americans are actually spending their own money because they finally feel good about the economy again. Personal income is rising, gas prices are dropping, and small businesses, yeah, the ones the left tried to kill, are reinvesting in America. We're talking real economic momentum here.
The economy is booming. You're talking about growth, a growth rate of 5%, folks. That's huge in the GDP. Huge. Trump is killing it. You have to acknowledge what's good, and you have to acknowledge what's bad, and you don't lie about either one. Simple as that. All right, 10:35. It's like old school 90 Minutes of Fury tonight. All about one subject. There you go. It's like I used to do 3 hours on vaccines alone.
Yep.
Basically unscripted. All right, here we go. All right, Rumble Rants. A huge night from SB Hank. Thank you so much, man. I'm assuming guy. SB Frank, Hank, SB Hank, thank you so much. $300. Keeper, $13.76, $25. Nate Dad, $20. Mike Griffith, $10. Naz Yeager, who's trying to meet up with Aaron.
Wow.
They're actually already married. But anyway, appreciate you guys so much in the rant. Really do appreciate you. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Stick around for the post game if you can't, even though we're late. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.